We are live on Jaguars.com from the 2014 draft party at Everbank Field, presented by PRI Productions. JP Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. The day is finally here.
This
what a day it is.
This thing is almost here at last. And, you know, I don't know if it's the extra 2 weeks or the hype or the buildup or the fact that there's quarterbacks in the conversation. It's been a lot of fun this offseason, but it's been a long time waiting for this night.
Let's talk about this party tonight. Still time to get down here. You must have registered. Jaguars.com was the registration. I've heard that nearly 7,000 registered for the event tonight. So it should be a packed house at the south end of Everbank Field where the Cabana Cabana area is in the south end. A band going on behind us now. They'll have huge big screen TVs tonight to watch the actual draft. Dave and Gus will come out here after too.
And all 7,000 are going to your place after the draft,
funny
right?
Funny how that works. It's going to be a heck of a party over in Riverside.
You're buying. Congratulations.
Hey, awesome. Of course, a huge day for this Jaguars front office, the brass, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, even up to Shad Khan. They've certainly been working on this thing for a long time, but John, I had a chance to visit with Dave today, and we've talked about this before. It's remarkable how calm he seems to be, at least on draft day.
Well, I think that's real, because as you go through this process as a GM, all the fans are sort of building up to this event, not knowing what's going on. Maybe the only guy who does know what's going on is Dave. So, as he said yesterday on our show, if he's nervous, if he's worried, if he's antsy, then something's wrong. Because this is what they've prepared for all year, particularly the last few months, is waiting for this. He doesn't know exactly who they're going to pick, but I think he knows enough scenarios and he feels good about the players involved that, as he said, it's not really nerves. It's just sort of waiting for this thing to play out. So he's a calm, cool guy anyways, we know,
right,
JP. So you wouldn't expect him to be nervous even if it was a weird situation. But this is what they do. So you're not surprised to see calmness on this deck.
He told me that this morning he got up, he took his son and wife to the beach, went for a nice walk on the beach today, went for a swim, went for a run this afternoon to kill all this time. The life of a GM on draft day. It's interesting to kind of get in his head.
Really is a lot of waiting around today.
Oh, no doubt.
As much as anything.
Like,
and that's what you know, all the fans are waiting around, and they assume that somehow these guys are in the war room plotting stuff out. But this is a day where the hay's got to be in the barn. There's really nothing for them to do until this thing starts at 8.
Speaking of getting ready for today and relaxing, yesterday across the street at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville, Dave Caldwell on the personnel side and Gus Bradley on the coaching side faced off against each other in a home run derby competition. Now, they moved the fence in a little bit.
Tell them that.
But it was quite an interesting scene yesterday, the day before the draft even, as a reward, getting them out of the office, getting them out in the sunshine, and having a good day across the street.
Can they move him to the infield? Because that's where I'd need to be.
I don't know. But I will report that Gus Bradley made a diving catch at shortstop. He looked fantastic.
You're a former baseball guy.
That's right.
Can you get it out of the yard over there?
No.
No.
I stayed in the broadcast
booth. Good
answer. That's all I did. But that was the scene yesterday, telling you how loose this group is going into tonight. Okay. The war room tonight. Of course, that's ground zero for all that happens here at Everbank Field. It's a room we can't even get in, John. We can get a lot of places in a building.
I've tried.
I know.
Can't get in.
You almost didn't get to try again.
That's right.
It's just behind. It's in a hidden area at Everbank Field, but that's where the big draft board is. Scouts' offices are in that area, too. But tonight, it's ground zero. Direct line to New York. Mike Perkins, Hamza Ahmad are there, but the rest of the brass in that room tonight. And Dave says that he likes that room. A lot of places like that room quiet and kind of tense. Well, Dave's the other way. He likes some talking. He likes a little music before. And he likes a little upbeat environment.
Well, and I think it goes back to the feeling of preparedness. If you weren't prepared, then you might need quiet because you've got a lot of conversations going on with Kyle O'Brien and Chris Polian and Andy Dangler. A lot of debating going on. But really, as he said again yesterday, if you're prepared and if you've done your homework, basically what the draft is for these guys is they're standing there or they're sitting there and they're watching guys come off the board in relatively the areas that they thought. So there's just not a whole lot of panic and there's not a whole lot of reason to need a whole lot of quiet if your MO is that you don't mind a few tunes,
right,
which yours is.
Well, hey, I don't mind it either. I just can't get in the room.
That's right.
JP Shadrick, John Osier, we're live from the draft party at Everbank Field. glad you're with us tonight. We will be live a little bit later, right after the Jaguars make the pick. If they pick at number three, we'll be live. No matter where they pick tonight, we'll be there after. A live interview with Dave Caldwell. Both press conferences for Caldwell and Bradley live, and then Gus scheduled to join us live after the pick as well. That's what's coming up. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll hear from Jeff Lagerman, a former first-round pick in his own right. The New York Jets, of course, 14th overall, what, in 1989 when he went?
It's been a long time.
It's been a really long. I won't tell you what grade I was in.
Unfortunately, I was out of college, but it's still been a long time.
It's okay. It's been a while. We'll hear from Jeff Lagerman coming up about his thoughts on that and what the Jaguars might do tonight. You know what's really good about tonight?
A lot of things,
yeah. But there are no more mock drafts.
There's no more mock drafts. But and to give you an idea, we've talked so much about the unpredictability of this. And it's sort of been the consensus lately that Sammy Watkins is the guy. I mean, if you look at a lot of mocks, it sort of gears towards Sammy Watkins. Well, Mike Mayock, Khalil Mack, Dan Pompey, a very respected guy, Jadeveon Clowney, number three, Pete Prisco, Khalil Mack, Russ Land, an ex-scout, does a good job. Teddy Bridgewater.
Wow.
Not one Sammy Watkins in there. So where's the consensus? You know, and the point is, there is no consensus. I don't need that. I don't need this. There's no way to predict this thing. There's no way to know what's going to happen because there are so many trades coming down. And plus, you get the idea that outside of Clowney, and maybe even including Clowney, these five, six, seven guys are all sort of in one group. And that's why Dave said yesterday to us, if you can't find a guy out of these five, if you can't find five guys to feel good about, then there's probably something wrong. And that's, again, goes back to the sense of calm for Dave. They're wide open. They have a lot of needs. Any number of players at the top of this, even dropping back to maybe 8, 9, or 10, can help this team. So he's in a good spot where he just has to kind of wait and see what happens.
The last of the mock drafts were last night. I think Mayock's is really the one a lot of people wait for, right?
Yeah, and it's once on NFL Network, and I threw my notebook, but I believe he took it.
I can't get to pick that up either. Sorry.
Yeah, nice move. Khalil Mack went to him, but he mocked him to number three, and I believe he has Khalil Mack as a top-rated guy in the draft. So it's come out today that the Houston Texans, I guess, don't expect to be able to trade. They were asking for a lot, but I think Adam Schefter reported that they don't expect to be able to trade. They're confident with their pick, and people sort of assume it's Clowney, but I'm not sure you should sort of assume anything right now. This thing's going to get wild tonight.
JP Shadrick, John Osier, we're live on Jaguars.com. Glad you're with us tonight. We will be live after the pick tonight. Pick, whatever you want to say. We'll be live no matter what happens. If there's breaking news, we'll be there live for you throughout the evening. Yeah, it starts with the Texans, but then the Rams really have the key at number two, right? Both of those teams, certainly ahead of Jacksonville, have they're just ahead of them. Things could happen in front of Jacksonville, out of the Jags' control tonight. But take us through a couple scenarios. If Clowney goes one, what happens at two? Could they trade still?
We'll go with the phrase conventional wisdom because I guess somewhere out there in this muck, there is conventional wisdom. But you would think now with the report that Houston stays at one. If that happens, then St. Louis indeed holds the key. You're starting to hear a little more feel that they won't trade down, that they'll use that pick. You would think it's on an offensive tackle. That's been the conventional wisdom. So then all of a sudden, Mack and Watkins are there at three, which has been sort of the MO so far. But again, I can't emphasize enough that this is all sort of based on this quote-unquote conventional wisdom, which may not be what these teams are thinking. Nothing gets weirder quick, and nothing breaks form more quickly than when they start naming off names at eight, and all of a sudden the draft boards are blowing up. So I think that's what you're looking at tonight. As much as we can break it down, St. Louis does hold the key, but I think everything in front of him is the key. When the Jaguars get on the clock, do they trade? They do whatever. I think every pick here might go down to the last minute with teams on the phone trying to figure out if it's time to trade, what they're going to take. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting.
No doubt about that. Glad you're with us tonight. Jeff Lagerman coming up shortly. Let's talk quarterbacks now. The real buzz the last day or so, at least coming from folks, the reporters and such in New York, was that the Jags might be interested in Johnny Manziel at three, which is interesting that they're in New York reporting that type of thing.
Well,
right?
And they might well be interested in Johnny Manziel. I mean, I've been writing all along, I'd be surprised if they took him. I'd still be surprised if they took him. But they could be interested, but I don't know that the reports yesterday are indications of them being interested. As you know, we're on the We're on the air with Jeff Darlington and Dave Caldwell. At the time, all these reports are breaking. You didn't get any kind of a vibe within the building that there was leaning toward Johnny Manziel. It was just, it was sort of business as usual. At the same time, Dave is saying he's only told Gus, and he hadn't told Shad yet. I don't think Gus is calling people in New York, letting them know the pick. If so, I wish he'd called me.
Right.
But it struck you as something that was being put out there by somebody with the idea of, let's see if we can make somebody jump the Jaguars and give us a pick. So maybe St. Louis is doing it. Maybe Houston's doing it. Who knows? Maybe Jeff knows.
Jeff Lagerman is with us. This is Jaguars.com. We're live at the draft party. This is quite a night. Always fun to finally get in here, right?
Well, for a lot of the prospects that are out there across the country, I mean, there's not a better night than draft night. A lot of them will be in New York. The ones that aren't are still excited.
Take us through your thoughts at number three. Is it defense? Is it offense? What's your gut feeling right now?
I think in a perfect world, General Manager Dave Caldwell would like to trade down and trade down somewhere in that bottom part of the top 10. Pick up maybe an extra second-round pick, maybe another late-round pick to give him more opportunities. You know, in the draft and what drafting is all about, it's all about prospects. You know, there are no guarantees, and so the more picks you have, the better chances your odds are that you're going to find some talent.
Get a lot of big, fast, talented guys in here, the more the better, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you really got to power numbers, you know, when it comes to draft picks. You know, there's a couple guys that I really like. I think the two elite talents in this draft class are the defensive players, Clowney and Mack. I think they're one slight step above everybody else. Once you get past them, then I think you've got a Jake Matthews, a Robinson. The offensive linemen are very good, and then you got a couple wide receivers. People are talking a lot about Sammy Watkins and Evans. I like Evans better than I do Watkins, just because I think he's a dominant player as far as when the ball's in the air, it's his.
And there were more reports today. You probably saw him, JP. More reports that maybe Watkins goes in front, but it's not going to be long until Evans goes after. Maybe both top five guys.
Yeah, and I think Watkins probably will go first just because he's got that elite speed, and that is something that you just can't coach. And you can't make Mike Evans run a 4.43 when he's a 4.55 guy. You know, but he plays big. He plays the game faster than what he is, but Watkins' speed will probably make a lot of teams enamored with him.
Is there anything to, Jeff, Mack is 23, which is a couple of years older than some of these other guys. Does that play into it at all, or is that an age?
Do we have verification on birth certificates on a lot of these guys?
Well, it could be. But a lot of these guys, because they're coming out early, are young, 20 years old, which is young to come into this league. Khalil Mack make a difference at all or not?
I don't think the age is a factor with Khalil Mack. If anything, it's the small school factor with Khalil Mack. Playing at Buffalo, and a lot of people have said, well, you know, look at his film at Ohio State. Well, that's one game. You know, and I think that would make some people a little less inclined to have him in the conversation with a Clowney. If he played at an SEC school or somewhere like an Ohio State, he may be in a debate for the whole top pick with Clowney.
Jeff Lagerman is with us, John Osier as well. I'm JP Shadrick. We're live at the draft party outside Everbank Field. Glad you're with us tonight. Quarterback. Is that realistic at three? All these reports are, oh, Manziel might be there at three for the Jags. He might well be there, but is it realistic?
I don't think it is. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have really strong traits, but none of them have all the strong traits like an Andrew Luck. Bortles has the measurables. Manziel has the excitement surrounding him. Bridgewater has the statistics, you know, the completion percentage and all these other mathematical equations that tell people he's the best that there is, you know. But nobody is clean. I think the quarterbacks will probably start getting picked somewhere in the 20s. I don't think anybody's going to go before that. I love Johnny, and I would love the excitement that Johnny Manziel would create in Jacksonville or any team in the NFL for that matter. But Johnny's at his best when the play breaks down. And in the National Football League, where the game is about precision, when one player is doing something that's not on cue, it doesn't allow the other 10 to be at their best. I don't think he's a top five pick. I don't think he's a top 10 pick.
Jaguars.com, we're live from the draft party. Let's talk about your history in the draft, of course. With 1989, he was out of college. I don't know what grade I was in. That's been a little while. You were the 14th overall pick to the New York Jets. What do you remember about that day?
Well, first of all, I remember the excitement of getting picked, and then I remember the loud cheers that I received from my own living room. But, you know, the Jets fans are legendary on draft day, and I got booed just like a lot of others got booed. And then Mel Kiper came back with the infamous quote, and I remember it exactly. Mel Kiper said this: "It's obvious to me the New York Jets don't know what the draft is all about." That was a great compliment by Mel.
But the moment for, you know, and a great story that we love to tell around here, but the moment that you're drafted, you've worked to that moment, and it truly is. Even guys who make it in the league don't always get that first round moment. It has to be something you don't forget, and it's special no matter how it plays out.
Well, you never forget it. You know, it was a little different back then than it is now. Back, you know, now they bring all the prospects to New York, and it's a red carpet deal. Back then, it wasn't anything like that. They might have brought a few to New York to get on camera, but then after that, it was just, you know, it was ESPN. You know, right. ESPN back then wasn't what ESPN is today. But, you know, the special moment for me was when I came to New York, and I expected a parade, and I didn't get it. the real special moment was after I did the meet the media thing and meeting the staff and going around the Jets complex, that night I had dinner with a dear friend of mine who I still work with to this day, Jerry Klingman, and he took me to dinner at the top of the World Trade Center at a restaurant called Windows of the World, which is obviously no longer, and that was pretty special.
Are you and Mel Kiper okay now? Have you talked to him since then?
You know, I'm okay with Mel because, you know what, Mel kind of helped make me a household name for a while, you know, so it was okay. You know, what's our good friend Pete Prisco say? Right. You know, any coverage is good.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
You learned that day, right?
You know, so now I'm okay with Mel. You know, not too long after it happened, he actually had a radio show out of Baltimore, I believe, is where he was at. And he asked me if I would come on, and I politely declined. But, I mean, and I just did that just to see what kind of a reaction that I would get out of Mel. But I have no problems with Mel. I think he's very entertaining.
Life's nothing without stories.
That's right. But, you know, hey, look, I'm excited about tonight. You know, what tonight represents for a lot of fans in the National Football League is a night of hope. And it's a night of hope that their football team can get better tonight, tomorrow, and also the next day after that. And that's a great thing.
And, Jeff, I was around in 95 as you were, but I missed about 10 years. The energy around this draft, the anticipation, I argue it might be as high as it's been since the early 90s. I mean,
well,
the 90s.
As it should be. This football team has 11 picks. And obviously the third overall, which creates a lot of excitement knowing that there could be a quarterback picked at number three. But to me, the real excitement is in the meat and potato rounds. There's, five picks in rounds four and five. If you can hit some of those picks in rounds four and five, and I go back to the great drafts that the Seattle Seahawks had lately. You go back even farther, and I'm dating myself to when I was a kid growing up, the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s. Right. They hit in rounds four to five to make that team the dynasty that it was. And if this team can do that in rounds four and five, hit a couple home runs, it could go a long way to making this team a modern-day dynasty.
Jeff, we appreciate your insight. Always good to visit with you, and enjoy 1010XL coverage.
All right, I'm going to go back over here, and they're going to play the Mel Kiper thing where I'm getting booed.
We'll play it later, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Jeff, thanks, buddy.
Jeff Lagerman joining us on Jaguars.com. We're live at the draft party. They're yelling at John Osier, J.P. Shadrick.
They're not being nice either.
The superstar.
It's not always nice to yell at.
Good thing it's the Internet. That's
exactly right.
Our coverage will begin again right after every draft pick, so we'll have live coverage right after the pick tonight, or if there are multiple picks or breaking news, we'll be live tonight. We'll also be live tomorrow after every pick as well. Glad you're with us. This is fun, man.
I think one thing real interesting about what Jeff said, and he elaborated on it well, this is a night to start building the core. And it's something where, you know, you got four or five picks, as he said, in those middle rounds. As much as it's about the superstar at the top of the draft, and that's the guy we're going to write about, as you go on through this weekend, I said night, but as you go on through the weekend, this is going to be a draft where this build we've been talking about, they spent all last year, you remember, talking about they wanted to have competition. They wanted to see where the roster was at. A lot of it geared toward knowing this is going to be a deep draft, knowing they were going to have 10 or 11 picks and have a chance to maybe get rich during those middle rounds. I think Jeff's right. The real tell on this draft will be in 3 or 4 years when you look at those middle round picks. Did they start building a core? Did they get faster? Did they get deeper?
You look at last year's draft, third round drops.
Uh-huh.
Fourth round, Ace Sanders was a stud last
right.
year. Denard Robinson still a work in progress, but back around and
right.
it factors in the plans this year. If they all work out down, you don't know yet. It's
right.
one year in for those guys. It might be a couple more years before you find
right.
out that those
And
guys.
You still won't know on these guys. You know, not many of these guys drafted tonight will start and have mammoth impact
yeah.
next year. That's just the reality of this league. And not many guys around the league drafted tonight and the rest, you know, it just takes time. But you're looking to build that core. And, again, I think that's why Dave's calm. I think he sees a deep draft. I think he sees a team that has enough positions of need, enough areas where this draft is strong, wide receiver, offensive line. He's going to go heavy toward those spots at some point, I believe. And I think he thinks they'll get better at some point this weekend.
We're less than an hour away from the start of the 2014 draft. It will be live on NFL Network, live on ESPN as well. You can listen to 1010XL, the draft show with Jeff Lagerman, who just joined us, Tony Baselli, Frank Frangie, is going until 10 o'clock tonight. We'll be live on Jaguars.com as well. Right after the pick is made, we'll have live exclusive visits with Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, and immediate reaction, too. John, great stuff, and one final thought.
I'll be posting my mock draft tomorrow morning. So it should be pretty good.
That should be really good, actually. Well done. That'll be the best one you had.
That'll be version 5.0, and I think it'll be pretty good. Pretty excited about it.
Great. We'll end on that. For John Osier, J.P. Shadrick, that's it for now. Stick with us tonight. It's going to be a long, fun night here at Everbank Field for the 2014 NFL Draft.